What if that had been a person?
The creature made a deep rumble that was half bleat, half roar, and started galloping down the alley toward us. Whatever it was big.
That's quite obviously not a person, Carl,
Donut said. Shit, shit, shit. The thing was really booking it now.
Shoot another missile, I said.
A third magic missile shot forth from Donut, this one hitting it directly in the chest. The creature staggered and cried out in pain, obviously hurt. But it kept coming. In the moment it was lit up by the pulse blast, I could distinctly see what it was. I got a good enough view for the info box to pop up.
Bad llama, level 3. It's a llama, but it's bad. If he were human, he'd be covered in prison tattoos and would be hanging out in front of the Circle K hitting on 14-year-old girls. They might be willing to sell you something if you have good stuff to trade. You won't want to get hit by their spit.
God damn it, Donut!
I cried, jumping back from the alleyway entrance. A red, baseball-sized ball of spit blasted out of the hallway and splattered across the floor. It sizzled where it hit, and the stones of the rocky floor turned crimson. Lava. The llama was shooting lava out of its mouth. I balled my fists. Mordecai had said my punches were more powerful than either of the weapons I had, but the idea of fighting a fucking llama with my bare hands was ridiculous. I had the fingerless gloves I'd received in a loot box, but they offered no armor protection.
You're gonna have to shoot it again,
I said.
I can't,
Donut said.
I'm out of mana.
Didn't you get a mana potion?
I cried as the llama emerged. The damn llama was even bigger than I expected. It was as large as a horse. The creature had giant yellow buck teeth. It turned its scorched and tan-colored head to glare at me. One of its eyes had been blown off by the missile. Black and red ichor poured down the side of its face. It had the debuff septic pulsing over its head. The powerful debuff was similar to poison. It worked faster, but it couldn't be stacked, and unlike poison, it could be healed with a simple healing spell or potion. The llama's health was already about three-quarters gone. Donut howled and leaped off my shoulder as the llama reared back to spit again. The thing's neck glowed red. I hit it with an uppercut and a left hook right in the face. I felt bones crunch. My left hand exploded in pain, and I didn't know if the crunching bones were in the llama's face, in my hand, or both. Probably both. It grunted with surprise and unleashed its gob of spit just as his head turned away from me. I felt the heat of the lava ball sail over my shoulder. I stepped in and punched it again, a right jab directly in its glowing throat. The creature dropped like a sack of hammers. I tried to cry out, but nothing but gurgling came out. I jumped back as the fur and skin around its neck erupted in red flames. I had ruptured whatever the hell was in its throat that made the lava. The llama continued to gurgle and make pitiful sounds as its health plummeted. A moment later, it was dead. The lava around its throat started to rapidly cool, filling the hallway with an acrid, sulfur-like stench. My left hand was broken. It throbbed in pain, but thanks to my regeneration ability, it was already knitting itself. I pulled up my health menu and looked at the pie chart. I could zoom in on that specific injury, and it gave me a detailed explanation on everything that was happening. My regeneration skill did a triage of my injuries, healing the most important items first. It was just my left hand along with some abrasions on my right hand. I could adjust the menu and give healing priority to other parts, too. After a minute, I was good as new.
I dealt 71% of the damage,
Donut said.
It's telling me I get to pick loot first.
The corpse blinked, and an info box popped up.
Lootable corpse. Bad llama. Level 3. Killed by Crawler Grand Champion Best in Dungeon Princess Donut, with an assist by Crawler Royal Bodyguard Carl. Poor llama skin. Uncooked llama steaks, times 2. Baggy of Trailer Park Grade Meth, times 2.
The skin disappeared from the inventory menu along with one of the steaks. The corpse's skin disappeared, leaving just a gross pile of muscle.
Your turn,
Donut said.
Meth? I said.
I laughed at how absurd it was. I added the rest of the items to my inventory. My inventory added two new menus, food items and pharmaceuticals. I had a couple new achievements, one for looting a corpse and one for sharing experience. I received a pair of bronze adventurer boxes. Donut got the same, plus a couple additional achievements for casting her first spell and finally killing something, along with killing a mob higher level than herself.
That was no good,
Donut declared as we continued our trek east.
Sloppy, you can't be injuring yourself every time we get into a minor tussle.
Minor tussle? We need to be more cautious. We can't just blindly stumble around.
No, we need to level up,
Donut said.
And we need to do it quickly. I'm starting to think this main road is not the best choice for traveling or fighting.
She jumped down a random hallway and I had to rush to keep up. A few turns later, and we were far from the main thoroughfare. Here, the walls were tighter and the ceiling much lower. The whole place glowed green from the lichen on the walls. Some of the halls curved and met dead ends. But thanks to the map, which built itself as we went, it was easy to keep from getting too lost. The whole place was eerily barren. Occasionally I heard a screeching noise coming from the distance, and once I heard something that sounded like a man screaming at the top of his lungs, followed by gunfire. But it was far away, and I couldn't tell exactly from where. We traveled like this for what seemed like hours, not coming across anybody or anything except a few random tutorial guilds. And bathrooms. The bathrooms were everywhere. It was the strangest thing. There seemed to be a bathroom door about once every quarter mile or so. Each doorway was different, and it appeared the doors were taken from actual bathrooms and restaurants and bars and buildings from around the world. Some had the symbol for men or women on them. One had a handwritten sign in what looked like Korean. Another had a note saying it was for paying customers only. I opened the first four bathrooms we came across, and each one was the same inside. A silver toilet and a roll of toilet paper. No sink, no mirror. Just a toilet and barely enough room to sit down in. No matter how wide or thin the door was, the room was the same each time. After the third room, I began to suspect it was the same room. To test it, I took the roll of toilet paper and pulled it out, dipping the end into the bowl of the waterless toilet. The next one we passed, I opened it up, and sure enough, the toilet paper remained dipped in the bowl. After I closed the door, I had Donut open it up. She could open and shut doors just by looking at them as long as she was close enough. She opened the door I'd just been in. This time it was a knee-high cubicle featuring a litter box.
Oh, good. I got a wee,
Donut said, entering the room and shutting the door.
She emerged 30 seconds later, trailing litter all over the place. She looked over her shoulder at me.
You should go. You look like you need to go.
What I really needed to do was sleep. The initial adrenaline rush from all of this was finally coming down, and I was exhausted. I'd only slept an hour or so before I'd woken up last night. Last night? It was barely 5 hours ago or so. In my health menu, it listed me as fatigued. It didn't cure itself with my regeneration. We had to find one of the rest areas. Mordecai said they were all over the place. We could set up a temporary base of operations there and explore the area cautiously and deliberately. This aimless wandering was going to get us into big trouble sooner rather than later. A couple minutes later, we were beset by a group of level 2 rats. There were 5 of them, and the screeching, hissing creatures were about half the size of Donut. The monsters weren't too big, but the bastards were huge for rats. They bit and scratched, and one even inflicted me with a poison debuff that only lasted for a second before my cloak canceled it out. I ended up defeating them by punting them against the wall one by one. They hit the wall and exploded like water balloons. Their deaths were over the top, overly gory, almost like their bodies contained twice as much blood as they should. Donut had leveled up to 2 after the llama battle. It appeared we received experience equal with the percentage of how much we participated in the battle. But the number wasn't exactly equal with how much damage we dealt. I suspected support activities such as tanking and healing also counted, though we didn't have nearly enough data to figure out if that was accurate or not.
It also appeared that simply being in a party with someone and present at the battle garnered a nominal amount of experience. With the rats, I received nearly enough to level me up to 3. Donut, who hadn't lifted a paw to help me, spent the next 5 minutes bitching about how her mentorship should have counted for more experience. The cat was definitely making an effort to be less abrasive, but she was still a cat. She had a reckless streak to her and a quick mouth, often making quips before realizing what she'd said. But she was also showing very cat-like signs of affection, too. One time I stopped and leaned up against a wall to rest, and she spent the time purring and rubbing up against my legs. I looked down at her, and she returned my gaze.
"What?"
she said. By the time we finally found a safe room, we had participated in 10 more skirmishes, all against rats and these large cockroach things called scatterers. The bugs were the size of and shape of a loaf of bread. We didn't receive any additional loot of interest except multiple rat pelts, and one cockroach dropped an item called a scatterer carapace, which added itself to my crafting items menu. I killed every single one of them with my bare feet. I punted the rats and jumped on top of the cockroaches. The bug mobs crunched like potato chips under my feet. While I did most of the fighting, Donut now made an effort to fire one magic missile each fight from the safety of my shoulder. Her skill level in the spell went up to 3. I spent a moment examining her stats. My view was limited, but I could see she currently had a 17 in intelligence, giving her 17 mana points. Each zap of her spell cost 5 mana points. For me, the spell points regenerated very, very slowly, making magic almost useless. Donut regenerated much faster, at about 1 point a minute. I didn't know why she generated the points more quickly, but 1 a minute was still pretty slow. Most of these fights were decided in seconds. I hit level 3 and gained a skill called Foot Soldier, and a second one called Smush. The Foot Soldier skill increased the damage I dealt by kicking. The Smush skill was something else. The voice reading the skill description was deeper and more throaty than usual. I could actually hear him breathing like he was a dude beating himself off while he said it.
Smush. Skill level 3. Killing with your feet. Your bare, beautiful feet. Taking your bare foot, placing it on top of a living, conscious life, and then pressing lovingly down until that life ceases to be. Is there a more noble way to kill? The amount of pressure you can bring to bear upon an enemy with your unshod foot is increased by 10% with each level of the skill.
I remembered the weird message I'd received before when I'd jumped on the Goblin Engineer. I thought it was just a throwaway joke, like most of the descriptions. But it seemed the AI, or whatever it was that controlled the game messages, really did have some sort of foot fetish. It was fucking weird.
I guess we're not getting you shoes,
Donut said after I made the mistake of describing the skill to the cat.
Yes, we are. As soon as possible.
It sounds to me like the computer fancies you. Or your feet, at least. We'll need to take advantage of that. If the system likes us, then maybe it'll go easier on us.
It makes me uncomfortable.
Being eaten by a bugbear makes me uncomfortable, Carl. So if your boyfriend ogling your tootsies keeps these easy-peasy bugs coming at us instead of more of those lava-spitting llamas, then you better buck up, get over your human male privilege, and take one for your princess.
Take one for my princess, I muttered, as she cackled with laughter. I saw the safe room glowing green on the edge of the minimap, and we angled our way toward there as we continued to argue. The scatterers were becoming more frequent, and I knew the main nest had to be nearby. At least I hoped that was what was happening, and that Donut wasn't right. A single level 4 cockroach scuttled away at our approach, disappearing toward a large, round cavern that was just past the entrance to the safe room. We didn't pursue it, choosing to head towards safety. We entered the safe room. Chapter 9. Entering Safe Room. We entered the room, and both of us stopped at the entrance, gaping.
What is this magical place?
Donut asked, jumping from my shoulder, her tail swishing about with excitement.
That's the biggest cat tree I've ever seen.
It's not a cat tree. It's the playground. We were in a fast food restaurant. It was almost like a McDonald's, but instead of everything being red and yellow, it was white and blue. The playground with the massive slide and tunnel system and ball pit were straight out of my own childhood. The signs on the walls were in a weird language. Polish, maybe. Pictures of plastic toys from some cartoon movie indicated this month's prize inside their off-brand Happy Meals. I couldn't remember the movie's name, but I recognized the hippopotamus and ferret thing. The movie was new, just released. They had taken a complete, intact fast food restaurant from some random country and placed it here underground. We'd come in through a main entrance. Large windows surrounded the empty restaurant, but the glass showed nothing but solid wall beyond. Three large screens stood directly above the counter where the menu would normally be. But instead of a menu, the screens contained information about the game in Syndicate common language. Donut bounded toward the play area, disappearing into the colorful children's maze while I read the screens. The first was a countdown until the level collapse, which was in 4 days and 17 hours. The line below that read,
"Countdown until the premiere of Dungeon Crawler World, Earth. 23 hours, 42 minutes. Remaining crawlers, 4,322,395.
I blinked at that. Holy hell. It had been 10 million just a few hours before. As I watched, the number just kept going lower and lower. I looked down at my feet, which were bloody and covered in bits of bug chitin and that white goo that came out of the bigger ones. We'd been lucky so far. We'd found some good gear and had survived several attacks. Weren't these other people working together? It seemed like too many people had died. I shuddered. I swallowed and continued to examine the signs. The next screen over read,
"Leaderboard. Leaderboard will populate upon collapse of the third level."
The third screen read,
"Welcome to the safe room. You are on the first level. Rental rooms currently available, 20. Rental room price, 0 gold. Personal spaces will become available for purchase on the fourth level. Food is available at this location."
Rooms available. I looked at the minimap, expanding it to fill my screen. The restaurant had 3 exits. There was the door we'd come in through, a second door on the opposite wall that had a dotted line on the other side, and an X over the door. I mentally clicked on it, and a box popped up.
"Personal spaces are not yet available."
That made it sound like I could buy an actual house or base of operations here. But if the floors kept collapsing, did that mean I'd have to buy a new one each floor? Through the third door, which would have normally led outside, I could instead see a small hallway flanked by 10 tiny rooms on each side. Mini hotel rooms, each no bigger than a closet. Sleeping spaces. That's when I noticed the white dot on the map. I startled, realizing there was a creature standing right next to me, just behind the counter. I waved away the map and looked. A furry creature with a paper hat stood there, barely taller than the counter, which explained why I'd missed him. I examined his properties.
"Tally, Bopka Protector, level 63, caretaker of this safe room. This is a non-combatant NPC. Bopka Protectors are magical, gnome-like creatures who exist solely to watch over safe rooms. They do everything from scrub the toilets to prepare your food. They are surly, smelly, and they never wash their hands."
I cautiously approached the counter. The hairy dwarf didn't move, like he was a statue. His hair was brown, but it had an odd, almost green tinge to it. The creature had so much hair on his face that I could only see his black eyes and his bulbous nose, which was covered with angry red veins. He smelled vaguely of wet moss. He wore a blue apron, a plain paper hat, and he had a name tag that read, "Tally." "Hi there," I said,
Do you wish for food?
He said, his voice louder than I expected. Creature had a Slavic accent. Not quite Russian, but close. What do you have? I asked, looking back up at the menu board, which hadn't changed. Is there a list somewhere? Sorry, I'm new here.
Tali knows you're new here. This dungeon has just opened. It opened without warning, so Tali is not ready. But I am ready enough to make most food for human crawler. Tali is prepared, has been preparing for many of your years to make food for human crawlers.
He leaned, raising up on his toes to look at Donut, who was bouncing about in the ball pit.
I am not prepared for cat, but I have milk. It's better than pet biscuit.
Actually, she really likes yogurt. I'm not supposed to give her too much. Bee gets... Cats need meat to survive.
Will you be renting room?
The creature barely moved a muscle when he talked. It unnerved me. Yes. I know our time is limited, but I need to sleep.
I shall give yogurt to Cat. I will have meat for Cat when you wake, but I can make food for you now if you wish.
Sure. You really have yogurt?
Yes. What is it you wish for?
I realized at that moment that I was starving. Is there anything you recommend? A pause.
You wish me to make food of my choice?
Yeah, why not? As long as it's not any sort of fish. I've had enough fish to last two lifetimes. Tally nodded by barely moving his chin.
What is your spice tolerance? 1 to 5?
Are we talking human spice tolerance? I like spicier, so 4. But only if it's on a human scale.
It is a human scale. Now sit. Open boxes. Wait. Tali will bring you food, then you sleep.
He placed a fast food cup and a small paper bowl on the counter and then nodded at a row of self-serve soda machines before turning and waddling toward the back. My choices at the soda machine were something called hoop cola, water, milk, vodka, and something called Worka, which I determined to be beer after I tapped the lever. I was tempted by the beer, but I went with water. I filled the little bowl with water as well. I took a sip, and I was surprised at how cold, how pure it tasted. I shook my head and sat at a booth. I'd received multiple boxes, including a silver adventurer box for finding my first safe room. I spent the next several minutes sifting through the mostly useless loot. Potion, torch, bandages. That was new. They stopped bleed effects. I didn't know if my troll skin shirt stopped that or not. It was all the same stuff, except for a silver ring I found in the silver box. The ring gave me +1 to my constitution, bringing the stat up to 10. Donut jumped up on the table while we waited. She drank a bit while I finished examining my loot. She had several boxes as well, including a gold magic item box she'd received for being one of the first 100 crawlers to level magic missile up to level 3. In the box was 25 potions of mana restoration and a collar charm. The charm was a little silver butterfly. Donut squeaked in delight when she received it. It even had a little ring on it, so it'd easily attach to her collar. The charm jingled when it moved. I shook my head. The game really was tailoring the prizes toward the crawler. You don't want to wear a damn bell around your neck. Do you know why people put them on cats? So the birds and squirrels can hear them sneaking up on them.
It's adorable,
Donut announced as the charm poofed onto her collar ring.
And I am wearing it.
I examined the charm's properties.
Talisman of the Slate Butterfly. Those who remember and commemorate the sad tale of the Slate Butterfly are given a boon by the fairies of the world. That story even made me cry. Adds +4 to the light on your feet skill. Adds +1 to intelligence. Winged fairies will no longer be automatically hostile toward you.
I had no idea what the tale of the Slate Butterfly was, but I had to admit it was a good item. But was it worth the extra noise we would make? I didn't know. I wasn't exactly the king of stealth either.
The light on your feet skill simply meant she'd be able to pounce higher and farther. She was already a 3 in the skill when she'd received it, so the charm made her a 7. The moment she put it on, she went bounding back toward the play area and jumped all the way to the top of the plastic tubes, a leap that was twice as high as she'd been able to go before. She spent the next 10 minutes with the zoomies, rushing around the play area like she had when she was a kitten. Shit. That had been what? 4 years ago?
Hey! Be careful! Don't forget you still gotta land!
Tally emerged from the kitchen holding 2 trays. He waddled from around the counter and placed them both on the table.
Eat!
Donut had a simple bowl filled with white yogurt. She returned to the table and sniffed it suspiciously.
What is this?
I asked, poking at my food with a plastic fork. It smelled delicious.
Merg Vindaloo, spice level 4, boneless chicken cubes simmered in velvety sweet and sour vindaloo sauce, also potatoes and other spices. It is on top of biryani rice, and I have also made garlic and spinach naan. I apologize, I do not have lamb. They took my lamb for a mob in preparation for the second floor.
He turned to Donut.
Also, Your Royal Highness, I have special ordered a fresh salmon for your meal upon waking. I will have it properly prepared and diced and garnished for you later.
Your Highness.
Thank you, Tally. Oh, and Tally?
Yes, Your Highness?
He asked, bowing slightly.
Please make sure Carl and I have the best appointed room for our convalescence this evening. That'll be all.
I'm pretty sure they're all the same. Also, you don't want a room of your own?
Of course, Your Highness,
Tally said, and turned away. I looked at the cat, and she blinked and tilted her fuzzy head, her approximation of a shrug.
It's not my fault he sees me as royalty.
I took a bite of the food, and I immediately forgot everything else in the world. It was literally the most delicious thing I had ever tasted. I'd never been a huge Indian food fan. But holy shit, it was just the right level of heat. I devoured it in minutes. Tally had returned to his post at the counter and remained there, unmoving.
Dude, this was the best thing I've ever eaten.
He nodded slightly.
Are you going to be in all the safe rooms?
No. When this floor collapses, I will move to a random floor in the dungeon. When that floor collapses, I will move down until I am no longer needed.
He didn't elaborate further.
Well, I'm thinking we're going to stay here the next couple of days.
I fought the urge to lick the plate. Could he really make anything in the world? The world is gone. A wave of sadness washed over me, unexpectedly. I took a deep breath. I pulled out the pack of cigarettes from my pocket and was about to light one when a loud but firm,
"Nope!"
from behind the counter made me put it away.
We can't stay here,
Donut said.
We need to keep moving.
I have an idea. I think there's a nest of those scatterer bugs just next door. I say we spend our time here and try to clear out the nest. Surely we'll get some experience. Once the entrances to the next level down show up, we'll go searching for a staircase. But until then, we have a spot to sleep, a supply of good food, and a nearby source of experience. I think this is a good place.
Okay,
she said after a moment.
But we need to come up with a snappy way to kill them. Something exciting, yet cute. Something with zest. I want on that show, Carl.
We're not getting on that show.
Weren't you paying attention? Millions of followers, loot boxes. We need to get on that show. Maybe we need a catchphrase.
I sighed. Chapter 10. Time to level collapse. 4 days, 3 hours. I slept much longer than I planned. The rooms were small, but not claustrophobic like the dungeon bathrooms or the racks in a Coast Guard cutter. The bed was more comfortable than I expected. The white cotton sheets smelled brand new and faintly like laundry detergent. And while the halls of the dungeon were humid and stuffy, the temperature in the rooms was a bit chilly, just how I liked it. Donut insisted upon sleeping in the room with me. As usual, She slept on my neck. I didn't dare take off my shirt or cloak, though I knew I was supposed to be safe. Once my head hit the pillow, I was out. I didn't dream, wasn't haunted by nightmares like most nights. I awakened feeling refreshed and full of energy. I looked at the countdown time, astonished that I'd slept 10 hours straight. I hadn't slept that long without waking in at least 5 years. It took the literal end of the world to finally give me a full night's rest. Donut yawned deeply and rolled onto her side as I sat up.
Get back to bed,
she said sleepily.
I need several more hours. That's an order from your princess.
Get up, I said. Tally is making you food, remember? That perked her up. The bathrooms in the restaurant had stalls for showers with soap and shampoo dispensers. There was also cheap, disposable razors and shaving cream. I finally peeled my clothes off and took a long, warm shower. I stayed until the water no longer ran black. I shaved. There were no towels, however, and I had to drip dry. My internal clock was already broken. I knew it was nighttime again on the planet's surface, but when I saw the plate with bacon, eggs, and pancakes, I sat down and inhaled it all. It felt like breakfast time. It felt like a new day. I wondered about those who'd survived but didn't go into the tunnels. How were they faring? Especially folks in the area of the winter storm. With no shelter, they'd have to build one from scratch. With no electricity, they'd have to make fires. And how much available food would there be? Probably not much. Even most of the animals, like chickens and pigs, were probably in coops and barns during the collapse. Across from me, Donut was eating her third plate of salmon pâté. I'd been deliberately avoiding looking up at the board, but I did now. 4,148,111. How soon before my number would be ticked away? I tried asking Tally some general questions about the dungeon, but he refused to answer. He'd only answer questions directly relating to the safe rooms. If I buy a personal space, will it transfer from level to level?
Yes, it will,
he said.
And from safe space to safe space. Also, it's best to buy all the accessories as soon as you can. Some of the items only upgrade when it goes down a level, so if you wait several levels before you purchase a crafting table, it won't get as strong as one purchased earlier.
Soon thereafter, we left to hunt for some bugs. Outside, the hall was just the same as before. I looked warily about for red dots, but I didn't see any of the bugs. I stepped a bit from the entrance, and I pulled out a cigarette and lit it, sighing deeply. I counted, and I had 9 left after this one.
Really, Carl? Must you light that? You know how I feel about them.
Jesus, Donut. You're worse than B.
While Miss Beatrice and I don't always see eye to eye on certain policy decisions of the household, I must agree with her on this one. Cigarettes are disgusting.
Well, there are only 9 left, so you won't have to suffer. I stopped dead as the trio of scatterers rounded the corner, chittering as they approached. It was 2 level 2s and a level 4 that was larger than the others. This third bug was almost the size of Donut. I wouldn't be squishing this one with my foot.
Scatterer Brood Guardian, level 4. Cockroaches that have been baptized in rage and monster energy drinks. Like its smaller brethren, the Scatterer Brood Guardian is a giant bug who wants nothing more than to fuck you up. Unlike his little brother, these guys are dangerous.
Shit. That doesn't sound good. I really didn't want to fight this thing with my hands. Despite knowing I did less damage this way, I pulled out my toad cudgel and clasped it in my hand while Donut blasted the large cockroach 3 times with a magic missile. It hissed and rolled back a few times, its health knocked down by half.
Want me to hit it again? I'll have to down a mana potion.
No, I said, relieved that the missiles did so much damage. I'll take it. I stomped forward with my foot, crushing both the smaller roaches. The Brood Guardian jumped back up and charged again. It was fast, But I was ready for it. It skittered forward, mandible antenna things thrashing. I swung the cudgel down at its head. The rounded edge of my weapon bounced off the creature, which hissed and fell back. The hit didn't appear to do much damage. Plus, I had to awkwardly bend down to use it. I quickly switched to my poker to see if that'd be better. It charged again, and I stabbed with the iron stick. Its giant head knocked the poker right out of my hand, and it went flying. This place has the shittiest weapons. I stepped back and snap-kicked, hitting the roach right under its little semicircle head. It squealed. The kick did more damage than the magic missile. I swept forward, continuing to kick at it while it shrank back. Donut leaped off my shoulder with a hiss as I jumped in the air, coming down hard on its back. The cockroach exploded like a balloon filled with coconut pudding.
"God damn it,"
I said, looking at the goo on my feet. Donut crept forward and sniffed the remains. It didn't leave anything lootable.
"The level four ones aren't too hard to kill. Oh, he just smells awful."
I looked at the map. A couple curves of the halls led to the large room. It looked as if there was a door, too. "Okay, this is what we're going to do," I said, as I went to retrieve my poker. The damn thing was useless, and I shoved it in my inventory. "We'll wait until your mana refills, then we're going to creep toward that main room and peek inside. If it's too much to handle, we'll run back here and rush into the safe room."
"The safe room door won't open if mobs are outside."
"We'll be fast."
"That's fine,"
she said after a moment.
"Just remember, I can run a lot faster than you."
We ended up killing a couple dozen more of the level 4 scatterers before we reached the door. We found a hit to the face with a magic missile just before it lunged would stun it. I'd punch down a few times and then stomp the head. Stomping the head almost always resulted in a critical hit. We received several vials of something called scatterer hemolymph, which looked like the white goo that came out of them when they died. The system identified it as an alchemy material. Every once in a while, the scatterer would get inflicted with sepsis when it was hit by the magic missile. When that happened, it would turn and try to run off. It would usually collapse and die after it took about 30 steps. Both Donut and I were level 5 when we got to the door. For me, the higher levels didn't really mean anything. I received 3 stat points every time I leveled, but I couldn't distribute them yet. The only thing that helped was that my pugilism, unarmed combat, foot soldier, and smush skills were all level 5 now also. Because of Donut's special buff, she was growing with each level up. Her strength was at 15. Now when she jumped onto me, I could feel the strength of her claws on my shoulder, even through the leather jacket and trollskin shirt. "Do you have any sort of slashing skill? You know, something with your claws?"
"Of course I do,"
Donut said.
"My slice attack is at level 4, and my back claw is also level 4.
"Okay, good. You can help if we get into trouble. Your strength is way higher than mine. You should get in there once your magic runs out." The door at the end of the tunnel didn't have any sort of official sign on my minimap. We crept toward it, going as silently as possible. Donut's little bell jingled with each step. The room beyond was large and round-shaped, probably about 1,500 square feet. The door itself was old and grimy, with a doorknob that appeared to be hanging on by a single bolt. While it wasn't labeled on the minimap, there was a paper sign attached to the door written in Spanish. It looked like some sort of official notice. The sign was old and weathered, and it looked like it had been there a while. "No entrar," I whispered, squinting at the sign. "I think that means do not enter. The next part, por orden del centro de salud. I don't know. By order of something, I think. Can you read it?" Donut just looked at me like it was the stupidest question she'd ever been asked. "It doesn't matter. Okay, we're cracking the door and looking inside." The doorknob didn't work, and the door wasn't fully latched. I pushed it open as slowly as I could. The door screeched, and I cringed. The room was pitch black. I couldn't see a damn thing. I heard rustling, so I knew there was something in there, but I couldn't see what it was. Donut was standing completely still, her hair poofed out like when she was freaked out.
What do you see?
There's a lot of level one and two cockroaches in there. Lots and lots of them. But there's other stuff in there, and I can't tell what it is. It looks like piles of garbage. It smells like that bag you take with you on those days that other guy comes over to the apartment. You know, like socks. But hundreds of them. I don't see anything else. Light a torch and throw it in there.
Wait, what? Are you talking about my gym bag? Some guy was coming over to the apartment when I was at the gym?
Focus, Carl. Light a torch.
Actually, I have a better idea. I couldn't believe it. Actually, I could believe it. It was my own fault. I should have broken up with her long ago. I felt like an idiot. I also suddenly felt very reckless.
Get ready to run,
I said as I pulled out the stick of goblin dynamite. The red stick was wet and sticky on the outside, like it was sweating. I examined its properties. The game show voice whispered the description.
Goblin dynamite. This stuff is especially volatile. It's so volatile, you probably don't even need to light the wick to set it off. It's so volatile, even loud noises might set it off. Keep it in your inventory until you're ready to use it. Be gentle, and don't squeeze too hard, or else you might get the...
The AI didn't speak for a good 2 seconds.
Boom!
The AI shouted that last word in my head, and I almost pissed myself. I stood still for several moments, my heart thrashing.
You are a fucking asshole, I whispered up at the air. Okay, I whispered to Donut. Run now. I'm right behind you.
Donut scampered away as I carefully pulled my Zippo. I lit the long wick, which started hissing and popping like a sparkler. I tossed the dynamite into the room, throwing it as hard as I could. I turned, and I ran. I prayed it wouldn't blow when it hit the ground. Chapter 11. It blew when it hit the ground. I'd chucked the dynamite a pretty good distance into the large room. I was only a few steps away from the door when it went off. Bam! The sudden, resounding concussion sent me flying. I hit the stone floor and bounced, sliding. The wooden door splintered, and a jagged hunk of wood ricocheted off my head. Stinking, billowing smoke poured through the entrance. Blood seeped from a cut deep in my scalp. My vision flashed red, and I received a danger low health warning. But it quickly abated. Behind me, I could hear the crackling of fire. I groaned, rolling onto my back as my health slowly kicked its way back up. I felt as if I'd been run over by that goblin bulldozer thing. Donut appeared above me, looking down.
Are you dead?
She asked.
Nope. I don't think so.
Then you better get up. Let's go see what we just killed.
I pulled myself up. Mordecai had said I'd be fully healed in 2 minutes. But 2 minutes was a long time when you were in pain. I had over a dozen healing potions now. But I didn't want to waste one just yet. Not when I didn't have to. The room glowed red. I pulled a torch from my inventory. I went to grab my lighter, but a box appeared above the torch, asking if I wanted to activate it.
Weird. It was different than the dynamite.
I mentally clicked yes, and the torch lit on its own. A half-hour timer appeared and then faded as the bright, dancing flames engulfed the top half of the stick. I paused at the entrance, peering inside. The room looked as if it was the interior of a dumpster. Mountains of trash rose to the ceiling. Multiple small fires burned, giving it a pulsating red glow. I tossed the torch in, and the room lit up further. I spied multiple bug pieces scattered about. My map populated with about 3 dozen X's indicating bug corpses. I didn't see any movement in red dots. I'd also received a ton of notifications, but they were all in the folder. I think we killed them all. Do you see anything?
Nope.
Donut said, strolling into the room. She stopped a couple steps in, looking distastefully at her paw. She'd stepped on something that looked like a dirty diaper.
Ugh. The only thing that smells worse than trash is burning trash.
You made a real mess of this place.
I followed her in. Donut jumped to my shoulder and immediately began licking her paw. I pulled up the notifications as we cautiously moved deeper into the room. The ceiling was higher than out in the hall, almost as tall as the main corridor. Piles of garbage filled the room, stacked at least 15 feet tall. A black garbage bag was ripped open at my feet, and I could see fast food wrappers, soggy Spanish-language magazines, and empty cans within.
Why would they transfer garbage into here?
I stepped gingerly as to not cut my feet, but I already felt as if my feet were changing, becoming less sensitive to the bare ground. Before, I knew this would be pure agony. It was still uncomfortable, but it was getting better, and it was happening much more quickly than it would have before all this happened. I'd received several skill upgrades just from that one move. Explosive handling. Dangerous explosive handling. Goblin explosives. In addition, I'd received another silver goblin box for killing more than 10 mobs with an explosive, and a gold crowd control box for killing more than 15 mobs with the same attack. I'd received a huge experience bonus for that, taking me almost up to level 6. I had one more notification. An achievement. I clicked on it.
"Do you hear music?"
Donut asked, pausing her cleaning to look up at the ceiling.
"New achievement! Boss Babe! You have struck a blow against a dungeon boss and caused damage to it. Here's a fun fact! For crawlers who make it through the tutorial, this achievement is, by far, most often, the last achievement they ever receive! Isn't that interesting? Reward? Let's wait a few minutes before we decide on whether or not to waste a prize on you."
Shing! The door, which moments before had been blown to bits, magically reformed itself, locking us in the room. And just to hammer the matter home, silvery, glowing bars of metal appeared, locking it in place one by one with a clink, clink, clink. Three skull-headed torches appeared, arising from the garbage heaps. At the far end of the room, something rustled. Something big. Music started playing, the sound filling the room. It was odd, intense, disjointed. It was like a harp playing with distortion with a heavy beat under it. The ground rumbled as the announcement came.
"Boss battle! You have discovered the lair of a neighborhood boss! Put your game faces on, ladies and gentlemen, and here we go!"
The AI was louder than usual. He sounded like an announcer at a monster truck rally. Normally, I was only really hearing this stuff in my head. This time, it was through an actual loudspeaker. It echoed, shaking the walls and the piles of garbage.
"Carl! Carl, I don't like this! Take me from here immediately!"
Donut cried. She jumped from my shoulder and started scratching at the door, which would not open.
"Carl, open the door this instant!"
I pushed myself against the back wall, waiting for the monster to emerge.
"Donut, get ready! Just start pumping it with magic missiles! Use your mana potions to refill yourself!"
Donut turned and panic-fired a missile, which bounced ineffectively against the sifting garbage pile.
"Wait until we see what it is first!"
The garbage exploded upward in a geyser of scorched trash bags. Bug parts and paper and food wrappers rained. A woman appeared, reaching into the air, screaming as she rocketed up like she'd been shot out of a cannon. She landed with a heavy crash 20 meters in front of us. Donut and I looked at one another. This was a human woman, about 35 years old, enormously fat. She wore a filthy and ripped t-shirt and no bra, and her skin was covered in open sores and scabs. A blue pair of sweatpants with the word pink along the leg appeared to be stretched to their limits. Her black hair clung to her head in clumps. Like me, she wore no shoes. She was also 15 feet tall. She spied us cowering, and she screamed again. Everything stopped the moment she screamed. She froze, I froze, and Donut froze. The only thing that kept moving was my mind, which raced. What the actual... A mugshot-style shot of my face in a round frame appeared floating in front of me, my name and level written under it. A second image of Donut appeared next to mine. A huge Versus splattered into the air.
The Hoarder! Level 7 neighborhood boss! Trapped in her pile of rubbish, abandoned by society, the war inside her head has seeped out of her mind and infected both her body and her surroundings. Now nothing more than a garbage troll, the Hoarder is a horrific reminder of what can happen to those who fall out of the light. Protected by her minions, she'll do anything to keep her precious stockpile safe.
The woman's title, The Hoarder, appeared in a stylized metallic font with blood splattered around it. It was straight out of a fighting video game. The moment the description ended, we could all move again. The giantess finished her scream and took a few steps toward us, garbage cascading around her with each step. Half of the woman's face was burned to hell. She had a health bar over her head, and it was already three quarters gone. I'd cheated the boss fight, killing her minions and hurting her before it even began.
Ayúdame, por favor,
the woman cried, reaching for us. Her voice was deep, beefy, scared. The giant woman sounded terrified.
No sé qué está pasando. Me duele el estómago. No sé dónde estoy. Por favor, tengo miedo.
Shit, I think she's a person. Like she was in her house when it happened, and they turned her into this thing. We should help her.
Yeah, that will be a no,
Donut said. She shot a magic missile at the woman, who staggered as it exploded against her chest. The tattered remains of the woman's filthy t-shirt burned away, revealing pendulous, stretch-marked breasts that fell over a sagging, equally marred stomach. Her health barely nudged.
Oh, you dummy!
The monster woman cried again. She made a gagging noise, and when she opened her mouth, a pair of level 2 scatterers came out and charged at us, hissing.
This is really disgusting,
Donut said. She shot another missile at the woman, her third.
Take a mana potion, I cried.
I punted a cockroach and then stomped the second. A bag of garbage softened the blow, and it didn't die. I stomped again. I cried out as a jagged hunk of metal tore my foot. The scatterer hissed. Fuck this. I reached down and ripped its head right off the body. It came off with a pop, sending me flying backward. I hit the ground. My hand grabbed something. I thought at first it was a bicycle chain. No, a leash. A metal chain-linked leash. The kind people used for really scary dogs. I snatched it up, pulling. It was still attached to the mummified remains of a large dog. It yanked out of the garbage like a monster leaping at me. Jesus Christ! I unhooked it and pulled myself to my feet.
Okay,
I said, looping the chain in my hand. The woman was scared, disoriented, and she obviously didn't want to be here. But she was also vomiting killer cockroaches at us. Our only real choice was to take her out.
Distract her,
I said. I ran around one of the big piles of garbage, one of the ones holding the skull torches. Thwomp! Donut fired a missile.
Hurry up!
Donut cried.
More cockroaches are coming!
The cat yowled. I saw her sail into the air, using her jump ability to land atop the pile I was running around.
Carl, this is unacceptable!
I rounded the corner, coming at the massive woman from just behind her. Another magic missile bounced off her chest. She staggered as two more scatterers emerged from her mouth. She made this awful noise as they emerged, the sound of 20 people vomiting all at once. These were level 4 bugs, the larger brood guardians.
I can't drink another potion yet,
Donut cried.
It won't let me. I can't fire another missile for a minute.
Shit. I didn't think about what I did next. I rushed up the pile of garbage behind the woman. My feet screamed as I stepped on what felt like broken glass. I looped the metal leash through the handle. I ran, and I jumped onto her back, slipping the loop over her throat. I slid off of her wet, greasy body, grasping the end of the leash with all of my strength as it pulled taut around her. She gurgled and started thrashing about wildly. She stumbled backward, falling toward me. I scrambled to my feet, pulling. Her hands moved to her throat as she crashed down, splattering one of the scatterers. Several other bugs filled the chamber now. Unable to easily get to Donut, they turned toward me while I pulled and pulled.
"You're doing it!"
Donut cried.
A little help here!
The bugs made an angry chittering noise as they descended on me. The poor woman gurgled and thrashed. Her health moved downward, slowly but steadily.
My missiles aren't ready yet!
A level 4 hissed and jumped at me. I kicked at it, and it scattered back. It lunged again and snapped, taking a bite of my leg. I screamed,
"Ugh! Use your fucking claws!"
She's almost dead. You can kill them when you kill her.
God damn it, Donut!
I cried as a second cockroach bit me. I stumbled forward suddenly, landing between the two scatterers. The chain had broken. I stared stupidly at the remains wrapped in my right hand. Fuck. Thwomp! Donut fired a magic missile. It must have let her drink another potion. A cockroach hissed and died. Thwomp, thwomp. The last two went into the woman. She still wasn't dead. With the chain still wrapped around my hand, I scrabbled up and punched the head of the closest of the brood guardians. Its face exploded, showering me with gore. A notification appeared and minimized itself. I turned as the second jumped at me. I fell onto my back as it hit my chest, mouth thrashing at my neck, its barbed legs scrabbling. I ripped at the creature, and one of its legs came right off like I was pulling it from an overcooked chicken. It squealed in pain as I pushed it off me. I leaped at it, pummeling its back with my chain-covered fist. It shrieked and died. My knuckles ached. I need brass knuckles. Real ones. I whirled around. The hoarder lay on her back. Her health bar was all but empty. Steam rose off of her. The broken half of the leash remained around her neck. I had to finish her off now before she puked more bugs. I scrambled toward her. The woman's eyes met mine as I raised my fist.
Lo siento si fui una mala persona,
she said. She closed her eyes as tears streamed down the non-burned side of her face. The woman only had one misshapen tooth in her mouth.
No quería que mi hija se enfermara. No quiero estar en el infierno. Por favor. Por favor, envíame Jesús.
I'm sorry, I said. I punched her right in the nose. I felt it give underneath my fist, almost like it was an aluminum can wrapped in clay. It crumpled and crunched deep inside. I punched again and again. My fist burned in pain, and I took my own damage with each blow. A minute later, and she was dead. Once again, the world froze.
And the winner is the Royal Court of Princess Donut!
Our two mugshots filled my vision with "Winner" stenciled over it. The remaining cockroaches all dropped dead. The door burst into shards. The music stopped. I leaned up against the stinking woman's dead body, and I tried not to vomit bacon and eggs all over myself. Chapter 12. "Explain these bosses to me," I asked Mordecai. I fingered the chain wrapped around my right fist. We found a tutorial guild about a quarter mile from where we'd killed the hoarder. Her body had only dropped a single piece of loot, a scrap of paper called a neighborhood map. It didn't disappear when I looted it, and Donut was able to grab one for herself. The moment I touched it, about a square mile of my mini-map automatically populated. I could zoom out and see all the red dots in the area. There were hardly any now. A couple of rooms with white dots appeared, and upon closer inspection, they were all tutorial guilds, all with Mordecai inside. Other than Donut, there weren't any other blue dots visible in this area. There was, however, the X of a corpse on the very edge of the giant neighborhood square, right on the edge of the main corridor. This X was different. It was twice the size and pulsing. I hovered over it, and it said,
"Corpse of Crawler, Rebecca W., level 3.
I didn't know how long she'd been there or how she died. but she'd been killed less than 200 meters from the safe room.
Let's go loot her corpse,
Donut said the moment she saw it on her map. I want to talk to Mordecai first, I said. I noted the location of the closest tutorial guild, and we angled over there. We opened the door at the guild to find Mordecai on his cot, asleep. He had that photo of his brother cradled in his rat arm, and a pile of empty bottles littered the floor. The upset urn had been fixed, and the ashes all cleaned up.
There are 6 main types of bosses,
Mordecai said after we woke him up. His voice slurred ever so slightly, and I could smell the alcohol on his breath.
Neighborhood, borough, city, province, country, and floor bosses. There are also others, but those are called elites. You won't need to worry about them just yet.
So that thing we just fought was the most common type of boss?
Yes, Mordecai said. And now you'll know how to recognize their lair. It'll probably be pretty obvious to you from now on. The neighborhood bosses are the easiest to kill and easiest to find.
Easy, I grumbled. My now-healed legs and fist still ached with phantom pain. The one we fought, she was obviously a person from our world. Is it always going to be like that? I hadn't understood a word the woman was saying, and I was glad for it. I already had enough trouble sleeping. Mordecai didn't answer for several moments, like he was trying hard to think of a proper response.
No, not always, he said finally. There will be a lot of recycling from previous iterations of the game. Some will be human stock, but most won't be, or even human from this world. Or they will be human, but it won't be as obvious.
It was quite the disappointing battle,
Donut said.
A bronze boss box. That deserved a legendary, at least.
We hadn't opened our boxes yet.
All bosses drop persistent loot, and their corpses stay there for any crawler to pick it up. A neighborhood boss will drop a neighborhood map, as you've discovered. Higher bosses will drop other public items, which I'm not allowed to tell you about yet. But the ones who actually kill the boss also receive an achievement and a boss box. Bronze for neighborhood, silver for borough, and so forth. Also, as you can see now, there's a bronze star after your name in all notifications. You'll get a star after each boss you kill.
Are there harder bosses on this level? It's not exactly fair. Most of us can level up, but we don't get anything out of it until we can distribute the points.
The first 3 levels won't have any of the province, country, or floor bosses, but there are some powerful bosses out there. They're meant to be taken on by larger groups than just 2 crawlers. You can't run from most boss fights, not on the early floors, so be careful.
Okay, I'm opening my boxes,
Donut announced, turning away. I had 15 achievements and 7 boxes to open, including that boss box and the gold crowd control box. While Donut grunted with annoyance at all the torches and pet biscuits, I turned back to Mordecai. Is it normal, this number of achievements? He nodded.
It's not normal to get that legendary box you did, but the first 3 floors are designed to drown you in low-tier loot and achievements and beginner skills. By the time you have to choose a class, you should have a good idea what's going to work for you. Once you hit the 4th floor, the achievements are harder to come by.
A spell book!
Donut cried when she opened her bronze boss box. I didn't have time to read the description before she glowed, indicating she'd already applied it to herself. A moment later, Donut cried with rage. Mordecai grunted with amusement. What is it?
Little one, you really must examine these items before you equip or apply them, he said.
Donut glowered.
It's a stupid spell.
It's a very useful spell, Mordecai said.
He turned to me.
She just learned a spell called Torch. It makes a curl of light follow you around. The more she uses it, the more powerful it'll become.
It's a good spell, I agreed. I pulled up my notifications. I was awash with odd skills, like a skill level increase in dumpster diving and jump attacking. One was particularly interesting.
You've gained a skill level. Iron Punch, level 3. When simple brutality isn't enough. Newsboy cap not included. With a skill like this, you can always find work as a 1920s street tough or a collection agent for a bookie. War gauntlets and lumpers will protect your hands and enhance your punching damage without losing your bare-knuckle bonus. Each level of this skill increases the enhanced fist damage bonus by an additional 10%.
If I was going to utilize my bare-knuckle skill, I really needed to find something to protect my fists. Breaking my fingers every time I punched something was not a good long-term plan. My lower-tier boxes were all crap. The last three were more interesting.
Bronze Boss Box, 5 out of 7. Tome of Wisp Armor. Silver Goblin Box, 6 out of 7. Stick of Dynamite, times 5. Lighter, Satchel of Gunpowder. Gold Crowd Control Box, 7 out of 7. Enchanted Spiked Knee Pads of the Shade Knoll Riot Forces. Scroll of Confusing Fog, times 3. Potion of Iron Skin, times 5.
That tome is a good find, but it costs 5 mana to cast it, and you only have 3 right now. I would hold on to it until you decide what your build is going to be. It's quite valuable. Or give it to the princess, said Mordecai.
I'll take it,
Donut said, looking up at me. She didn't even know what it was yet. I read the spell's description.
Wisp Armor. Cost, 5 mana. Target, self only. Duration, 5 minutes plus 1 minute per level of spell. Requires 5 minute cooldown. Surrounds your body with tendrils of light. While ineffective against physical attacks, this spell negates 75% of incoming damage from magic-based attacks. Provides temporary immunity to mind control effects. Higher skill levels increase both effectiveness and duration. It also makes you look all wispy and ethereal and druid-like. A great spell to have if you're a club kid or trying to bang a vegan.
A magic protection spell. That would be useful. I'd hold on to it for now. The scroll of confusing fog filled the room with a mist that only the mobs could see, and the iron skin potion raised my physical armor by 100% for 5 minutes. The real prize was the knee pads. While it wasn't pants, I was happy to finally have something to put on my legs. I pulled them out of my inventory and examined their properties.
Enchanted spiked knee pads of the Shade Knoll Riot Forces. Adds